The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Good evening. We're here once again talking about parenting. We just came away this weekend, this Shabbos, and actually it was from Thursday through Sunday, a very interesting seminar. One of these Arachim type seminars, basically geared to people who, let's say, not yet religious. But in this group was another group, or a subgroup of people who were not just not religious and never had the background or the opportunity, but have been there, done that, so to speak, and were no longer practicing, with yeshiva backgrounds. Interesting group, very beautiful group, but with this particular thing in common. And it was interesting to note the reaction of a lot of these had been yeshiva boys, and how they reacted to the seminar. And I'd like to share with you just a couple of thoughts that I learned or realized how clearly and correct they really are. And I think they're relevant because when we talk about our children today, one of the most serious issues is prevention of problems. As the problems proliferate, as more and more of our well-trained in yeshivas, well-brought up in very fine homes, capable, highly intelligent, sensitive children seem to be drifting from, you know, in many different ways, it's certainly of concern to us what lessons we could learn for preventing such occurrences from taking place. And I heard something which was really very, very powerful. One of the speakers there talked about his mother, Olea HaSholem, who was a Holocaust survivor. And he indicated, told us, that after the war, she was angry. I guess she had sustained great losses and seen great tragedy. And although she survived, she was angry, angry at Hashem. She couldn't deal with this whole religious experience, and she went off from the Yiddishkeit for a period of time, and eventually she returned and so forth. But there was a small tkufa, or a period of time, where she had it. She wasn't interested in the whole experience. But what he pointed out was that a conversation, one conversation, that she had when she was 7 years old with none other than Sora Schneera. It seems Sora Schneera was traveling Europe, whether it was getting together students for her newly formed school, the first of its kind for women. The Beis Yaakov movement began through her efforts, or whether it was through her students working, setting up other schools, I'm not sure. But she stayed at his home, his mother's home, when the mother was 7 years old. And he says she had a very brief conversation with Sora Schneera, but that conversation changed her life. Sora Schneera showed her that, in fact, our Torah was given by the Creator. And she did it in a sentence. She said, "A crook, if he wishes to convince someone of something, a crook says, 'I saw.' A crook doesn't say to people, 'You saw.'" That was the whole sentence. That was it. Profound and yet very simple. If a person wishes to convince someone or people that a certain event took place, the best shot at convincing them, if they didn't see it themselves, the best shot is to say to them, "I saw." When I say I saw something, you'll either believe me or you won't. There's a chance that some people will believe me at least. And, you know, from that would work. And that's the way many religions got started. So if I say I saw, you might believe me. However, if I tell you you saw things that you never saw, that's impossible. A crook will never do that, because if someone you're trying to deceive someone, you'll never get away with that deception if you tell them that they saw it when, in fact, they did not. And this, of course, is really the essence of what our Torah is all about. It's eyewitness testimony. How is it eyewitness testimony? The Aseret HaDibros, where the Torah tells us of Hashem speaking to Klal Yisrael, are sandwiched in between two psukim, not directly, but one before and one after, and a little bit of a proximity. First, the Torah says, "Atem ra'isem asher asisi b'mitzrayim." You saw, not I saw. You saw what I did in Mitzrayim. And at the end of the Aseret HaDibros, it says again, "Atem ra'isem ki min hashomayim dibarti imochem." You saw that I spoke to you min hashomayim, and therefore you know. And the generation of people who stood there, hearing not that somebody else saw, that the crook saw, but they saw. And they took that document, which says they saw the miracles of Mitzrayim, and they saw Hashem speaking to them directly. These millions of people took this document and passed it on to their children. So they testified to their children that they, in fact, saw these events. And that, of course, is the beginning of the Eidus that continues to this very day to the truth of miracles, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and of Maimon Har Sinai. Now, the concept is really then very simple. And it seems that a seven-year-old child was able to understand it. That the fact that the Torah speaks to people telling them what they saw, if in fact they never saw it, they would never accept such a speech. They would never accept a document that says they saw such information. And they would never, all of them in unison, millions of people, pass it on to their children with such a fervor and such a commitment that their children should take it and pass it to their children and their children out throughout the generations. If in fact the document says something which is clearly impossible. We did not see. If the document said someone else saw, I saw, somebody saw, maybe stated something happened without saying you saw. Could be. Maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. Maybe they accepted it. But no one would accept a statement that says that they saw things that they never saw. And that is the beginning and the basis of the Eidus of Torah. And what was interesting is that this individual said, his mother told him that even though after the Holocaust, with everything she had been through, she gave up on the Yiddishkeit for a period of time. She was angry, she was overwhelmed, she couldn't handle it. She never questioned for a moment that it was true. She never questioned, she knew it was true. Because a crook says, I saw. A crook doesn't say, you saw. That's all. And that realization of a seven-year-old child, albeit from such a powerful personality as Sora Shnira, but that stood her well and carried her through. And even though emotionally at certain points in her life she wasn't able to deal with it, eventually it brought her back. And I think that this is a profound and relevant lesson for all of us, because that deeper rooted knowledge that this in fact is emes, that in fact there were public miracles in Mitzrayim that were unprecedented in all of human history, and in fact there was a public revelation to an entire nation, and that revelation was recorded, and in the document it was recorded that that nation witnessed this themselves, and they passed on that testimony to future generations with all of its incumbent lifestyle and remembrances and mitzvahs that reminded us constantly, the edus of constant remembering of these events. That knowledge is very, very powerful when it's embedded deeply in the hearts and in the minds of our children. And in a sense, it prevents them from going too far. And even when the emotional difficulties, challenges, trials and tribulations, failures, frustrations, whatever it may be that they go through in their years that might lead them off, they have this anchor which will eventually be able to pull them back. This was reiterated and accentuated at the end of the seminar. At the end of the seminar is a symposium where the participants get a chance to speak rather than just listening to the lecturers. One young man got up and said the following. And he was a former yeshiva student who's right now, you know, sort of in between. He says, I do things that I shouldn't do. I'll probably continue doing things that I shouldn't do, at least for a while. He says, but until now, I rationalized when I wanted to do something that I wasn't supposed to be doing, I said to myself, who knows? I don't really know what happens. I don't really know if it's true. So, you know, like that rationalization, that ability to cast aspersions, that ability to question and to develop or to express or to feel some type of a doubt, that made it possible for me to go off. He says, one thing I know now, I'll probably continue doing things I shouldn't do, but I can no longer rationalize that this is not so. I have no doubts left. And therefore, eventually, this will most likely pull me back and hold me that I won't be able to continue indefinitely doing things that I shouldn't be doing, because I know, in fact, that the Creator gave the Torah at Har Sinai. And I think that this concept and the simplicity with which it can be instilled in the hearts and minds of our children is something that can immunize them, that can ensure in a certain way a certain level of security that they maintain their connection to the Yiddishkeit. Now, many people are concerned about discussing such issues because they're concerned about raising questions. And it is really a valid point, because raising questions is not always good for those who are not thinking of those questions, and sometimes people get the questions better than the answer. In fact, in a certain sense, the question gets in first. It's Girsa the Yankis, so the question takes root, and by the time the answer comes, the question has already been rooted and established, and sometimes the answer doesn't measure up completely, and certainly not to the memory, and maybe not even to the understanding of the young person. And therefore, there is some concern about these issues. But I think what we have to do, rather than ask questions, is to give information. This is a piece of information. Question isn't asked, how do we know? Maybe we're wrong. How do we know? You know, that type of a question. But look at the Torah. Very strange. The Aseres HaDibros, where Hashem is speaking to Klal Yisrael, he says before, you saw. He says after, you saw. You saw Mitzrayim. You saw that I spoke at Har Sinai. Now, that you saw was taken. A document with you saw is taken and passed on to the next generation. That means that this whole generation testified to their children, everyone the same testimony, that they witnessed these events. That's not questions. It's a statement, historic statement. It's a piece of history. It's a piece of information. It's done at age 7. Maybe it's done again at age 8. Maybe it's done at age 10. They hear it every time they come to Parshas Yisroi. From time to time, there's some type of discussion that arises. It doesn't have to be with an earth-shattering question which shakes the individual to the core of their being and they think who knows what. But just information, information. There's another type of information which is also very, very, very significant. And that is the information that the Torah has that no other human being could have known. Any time that we have an opportunity to point out a nevuah, a prophecy that has taken place, that has actually been fulfilled, any time we have the ability to point out a new scientific discovery, which is found, discussed in Torah or in Chazal thousands of years ago. Any time that we see an opportunity to point out information that was known to Chazal but not known to the rest of the world, known to Torah, not known to the rest of the world, and only found out, discovered recently, whether it was a historic event that unfolded, or a scientific discovery that happened, or some other awareness, or any type of control that we see of history and nature that the Torah exhibits that could not be by coincidence. Anytime we point out something like that, in a very innocent way, especially if it's on the Parsha, and I think I've mentioned here before that we do have people who sign up with their email address, can request to receive different things like this on the Parsha, and sometimes the Parsha, you know, is very innocent, very harmless, it's not an agenda item, we're just talking about the Parsha, we just happen to mention this information. But when you take this testimony, and you couple it with this evidence, for example, that the Torah tells us that the Klal Yisrael will return to Eretz Yisrael. Didn't make any sense. It spread out all the far-flung corners of the earth, which was also prophesied to us. Suffering in the Golus, wandering constantly, all told to us in Parshas Kisavoy, and then yet a return to Eretz Yisrael? Just doesn't make any sense. But history unfolded. And Eretz Yisrael will remain desolate until the Jew returns. And until the beginning of the last century, when Jews started returning, Eretz Yisrael didn't produce. And Eretz Yisrael will only be acquired in the merit of Bris Milah. And of all the mitzvahs that the generation of first Olim, the first returnees to Israel, who were completely non-religious, had given up all of the shackles of their tradition, kept one mitzvah, the most unlikely of them all, Bris Milah, the one that one might think that's, if they're going to keep any, that's the least likely. And yet that was kept, and only in that schus. And we find, the Zohar says, that Oy Lonu, woe is to Klal Yisrael, the day that Yishmael had a Bris. Because Yishmael is the only other contestant for Eretz Yisrael, as has been true present day throughout history. When they see that the Torah is full of information that no one could have known, which comes as evidence to its veracity. Only connection with the creator and the controller could have provided this information. And we find testimony of eyewitness testimony of events that took place and recorded in the form that these people themselves witnessed, and they passed that on to the next generation. It's a very powerful combination of testimony and evidence, which solidifies, doesn't have to be questioned and discussed that way, but just information that solidifies with clarity the fact of the historic fact of the truth of Torah Misinai. I'd like to share with you a little event or a little piece of a little anecdote, which maybe brings this point home, because sometimes we underestimate the power of the evidence and the power of the testimony that we have. I had the privilege, quite a number of years ago, of attending a seminar, an Arachim seminar, that for people who are not religious. It was on the West Coast. And there was one individual there, a retired college professor. His name was Larry. And Larry was the head of the opposition. Every time one of the speakers would offer a salient point, something which portrayed Torah in a positive light, the participants would turn to Larry to present the opposing opinion. Larry was very well educated. He was well read. He was a retired professor, and he knew everything. And Larry would lead the onslaught against why this is not true and this question and that problem, and fighting with everything that the speaker would say back and forth. It was Thanksgiving weekend, so it was Wednesday night it started. Thursday was the seminar, Friday. Friday evening, an individual, one of the lay leaders of the community, a frum person who was there to see, what happens at these seminars, asks me, you know, with a little bit of skepticism, he says, do you think you'll have some Bali Tshuva from this whole experience? And I said without hesitation, 50%, I'll guarantee you. No question about it. There's a lot going on here. And I believed, and I believe that the truth was that it was higher than that number, much significantly. But that's what I said. Then he asked me, what about Larry? Do you think Larry's going to become a Baal Teshuva? Larry was like the symbol of the opposition. And I said, guaranteed, Larry will be a Baal Teshuva. I'm telling you, no question about it. And this guy responds and says to me, he says, you know, if Larry's going to become a Baal Teshuva, I'll eat my hat. Fine. Okay. Sunday night is the final day of the symposium where the speakers begin to speak, you know, talk about their reaction, their response, what they're going to do, where they're going from here. And everybody was awaiting for that moment when Larry would take the podium. Larry gets up and Larry stands there and Larry says, I really didn't want to come here. It seems that some family member who had been to a previous seminar and was very impressed and taken by it convinced him to come. He says, I didn't want to come. And I resisted and I said, no, I've been searching my whole life for truth and I've seen everything. I know it all and I've been there and done that. And it's not for me. There's nothing here for me. It's a waste of time. But she kept on pressuring. And then he said, you know, who knows? Maybe they do have something under those black hats after all. He says, maybe, who knows? Took a chance. He came to the seminar. And then it came out. Larry says, I can tell you that I am convinced beyond any reasonable doubt that the Creator gave the Torah to the Jewish people at Mount Sinai. That's a historic fact. The Olam was, they didn't know what to say. They didn't know what to think. Larry was their last hope. You know. Anyway, and Larry announced that he had enrolled in Or Sameach in Eretz Yisrael to study. He actually went to Eretz Yisrael. This individual, who was in a bit of a bind now due to the commitment that he had made vis-a-vis his hat, comes over to me, you know, a little bit sheepishly and says, can I eat my straw hat? Anyway, that was the story. But what it underscores is the power of information. You see, unfortunately today, there are so many people who are not observant simply because of the fact that they have no education. They have no idea what it's all about. They heard about the difficulties. They heard about the restrictions. They heard about the myriad details of observance and ritual. But they have no clue as to why and where it comes from and what it's all about. And information, just information, straightforward, straight talk, is something that's so powerful and can be so helpful to these people. But not only that, even to our own. It could be our own. We give a lot of information. But maybe we start the information from the third floor. We take the basics for granted. Yes, of course, they know Maimon Har Sinai, creation, the Bo'yirei Olam, and the purpose of creation, and Maimon Har Sinai, and a public revelation, and all this, and the truth of Torah Misinai, of course, that's self-evident, that's basic. And now on the third floor, and we're going to start now giving information, a building. Well, everyone knows that a building that starts on the third floor doesn't get any place, it crumbles. Because unless the foundation is solid, unless we don't take the first and second and maybe the basement for granted, but rather bother to take the time and the effort and the providing information, explaining information, sharing insights and clarity of that information, unless we do that, then it could very well be that we leave our children vulnerable to this lack of foundation. And I'm reminded of another episode that took place also at another one of these seminars, where there was a young couple that came who had been through some personal crisis, and even though they were religious, they were advised to go to the seminar for chizuk, to strengthen themselves. And at the end of the seminar and the symposium, this individual stands up and he's going to talk, and he starts this talk as follows. He says, "You know, I've been to the finest yeshivas," and I think maybe even listed some of the names, "and I've studied everything," and he goes through and Gemara and Mishnah and Halacha and Novi and Chumash and Musar and everything. He says, "But I never had the context with which to appreciate everything. I didn't really know where it was coming from. I didn't really know. I knew a lot of information, a lot of lomdus, a lot of concepts, a lot of ideas, a lot of insights, a lot of halachas. But I didn't have this broader sense of context." I remember that was a key word, was context, from where it's all coming from, where it's going, what it's really all about, what's behind it all. He says, "This seminar has given me the context, and my whole life now is going to be different," and it had a profound effect on his life. So I believe that this context is very critical, and whatever we can do, the truth of the matter is that these seminars should be part of the routine for the entire observant community. Schools should sponsor them, yeshivas should sponsor them, community should sponsor them, so that everybody gets a clarity of the information, senses the sharpness and the power and the influence of this information, so that they can not only strengthen themselves, which does happen, but also to inspire their children and to be able to give over this basic information to their children and to be able to answer any questions that their children have based on their detailed and in-depth knowledge and understanding of the basis of the validity of Torah Sinai, and specifically the power of the concept that a crook will say, "I saw," but a crook will not say that you saw, and the like. So these are some ideas which I think we as parents should become more well-versed in order to be able to assure and to prevent, assure the security and the safety, and prevent the development of problems in our children.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.